Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Hyperspace Hangout. Star Wars fans, joined once again by Sarah Palpatine on Twitter and TikTok and all those social medias. Sarah, how are we doing today?
Good. Thank you for having me, Matt.
Yeah, it's always fun. I love talking Star Wars with you because you're incredibly passionate about it. And I just think we have sort of good, interesting takes on it, and we sort of go in, I think, different directions of what we appreciate in the fandom. And so I always love talking Star Wars with you. So I knew once Andor was coming to an end, I was like, oh, we'll wait until Andor is over and then bring you back on and dive into it, because I have to say, I don't know if shocked is the word, or I really don't know how to describe my sort of feelings about this show. I guess the easiest way to sort of describe it is when I went into Rogue One, my thought was like, okay, cool. I didn't know what to expect. And what we ended up getting was, for me, like a top four Star Wars movie. And so it's just like, wow, amazing. Wasn't expecting it. Wasn't really keeping a close eye on it, because at that point we were so focused on the sequels. Well, here we go again. You know, I'm so, like, you know, my main Star Wars brain right now is on Mandalorian and Ahsoka, and then we were getting Kenobi and Book of Boba Fett and all these other things coming out, and then we knew we're getting the Andor show. And so, again, I went into it thinking, okay, cool. You know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. We'll see what happens. Didn't really keep, like, super tabs on the trailer or everything. And what we ended up getting is, I think, for me, the second best Star Wars show. And it's just, it pushes Star Wars in so many new directions. It was kind of hard to follow a little bit, just because there were so many other big shows going on that I thought this show might get buried. But man, I just found myself being almost most interested, outside of House of the Dragon, obviously. But of all the other big things, this was the one that was even shining through above, like Rings of Power and She-Hulk and some of these other things. Tales of the Jedi came out during it. So just, I mean, it's just a wild ride for this show. So I guess what were your sort of thoughts going into it? And then, you know, what did you think?
Like you said, it's been like a little bit of a ride, because, you know, just, we've had movies and we've had, you know, books and animated shows for the last, you know, decade or so. So we're in a space in Star Wars where, like, we're not really used to, like a drought, you know what I mean? Like how we've had to deal with before in this fandom. And so with, like you said, so many things being out, not just in the Star Wars universe, but outside of it, you had the Lord of the Rings show, House of the Dragon, so much going on at that time. It's like you said, it's like, oh, and Andor, you know, like, to me, it was always like, oh, Andor's going to start soon. Andor's going to start. But, like, really outside of Diego Luna and his character, Cassian, I just didn't know what to expect. Like, who are we going to meet in this show? Are we going to see anybody that we saw before? And I think once you get through those first, like, couple episodes, getting used to who you're going to see in the show and who's going to be sticking around, it was go time, especially after House of the Dragon ended. That's when I had, you know, more brain power to retain it all. But, like, I don't think anybody was expecting the writing to be this stellar, the acting to be this good. You just like, okay, another Star Wars show. And it just was something so special it could have not been a Star Wars show and still been just as good and critically praised. That's a fun new one in the Star Wars universe, is having something critically praised, because this show, on podcasts that just talk about TV and don't care about Star Wars that I listen to, they were talking about Andor. And I was like, oh,
Yeah, I've been kind of describing it, especially I feel like, you know, and I really only have one criticism of this show, is that the first half is a bit slow. The first half takes a while. I mean, they're like, it's like you kind of like, you okay, there's definitely like in between episodes that you could almost describe as like filler. And really, until he gets into the facility, it's like, man, you have to wait 5 episodes just to get to like the eye. So it felt like there was, you know, then okay, then you go back into an hour and a little bit of a lull. That, and then really, and that's like a sort of minor criticism of the show, is really my only. Really my only critique of it. But man, the second half of this show, I've sort of described as, if this is like if HBO was given the Star Wars property, because HBO makes like the best drama, I mean, across the board. I mean, they win all the awards every year.
That's the perfect, yeah,
this is like, this would be like the eight, this would be like HBO Star Wars.
And it definitely feels like it.
Yeah, which is like the highest compliment I can give it. I mean, that's a compliment to say that.
Compliment, yeah, you could give anything, and especially because like they played that boundary of it being a little bit, you know, PG-13 plus. You know what I mean? Just like a little, just a couple notches over PG-13. That I think, really kind of gave it, like you said, that sort of HBO kind of feel. Just knowing that something special is being done. And I know with every Star Wars project, the nuts and bolts and screws or what have you, you know, come in discussion and stuff. And like, just how everything looks so tight and so detailed and so perfect. Like, it wasn't like super alien heavy. Like, most people looked pretty human or humanoid at the very least. Whereas, like, you know, Book of Boba Fett, you have the Trandoshans, and you have, you know, right. Black Chrysanthemum, and you have these kind of larger-than-life Asaurians and all that stuff. It was, you know, kind of interesting to see that played down a little bit, but still feel just as, you know, Star Wars-y as anything else does.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the cast for this was great. The writing was absolutely great. You can tell they didn't do a lot of the volume that they use in like Obi-Wan and stuff like that, because it was clearly like very real sets and everything. And it felt very different from all the other shows. Kind of like Rogue One feels.
I preferred that for sure.
Yeah. Kind of like how Rogue One feels like its own thing. I did feel like the finale, to me, felt like a mid-season finale, which is kind of with how they described this. They said, hey, you really need to view this. It's 2 seasons, and really it's meant to be viewed as like one big thing, which was interesting, because I kind of felt like the season finale was like, okay, this is good, but it didn't feel to me like a season finale. It did feel like a midway point. It definitely felt more like of a mid-season finale, which is fine.
Yeah, or like a penultimate episode kind of a vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're just going in a very different, unique route with this show. When we look at some of the characters, you know, I was going into this thinking, okay, what is this even really like? What is it going to be about? We're going to get like some more backstory on Cassian Andor. Like, we know how he ends. And what ends up happening is, man, we get so much like sort of backstory on Mon Mothma and even Cassian, and then a little bit more in with Saw Gerrera, which was kind of cool. And then Luthen Rael, who, you know, Stellan Skarsgård, right? This character is just so intriguing to me, because we're beginning to see the like shades of gray of the rebellion. It's always sort of been like black and white, and then all the stuff with the Death Star, which we can come back to. But yeah, I mean, so what were you kind of hoping for, like, going into the show? And what do you think? What did you think after watching it?
I never thought in a million years that Andy Serkis would be on the Andor bingo card, but that was one of the most pleasant surprises. Even having seen it pop up on Twitter before I saw the episode, it still packed a punch. But yeah, I was really, really hoping to see more of Mon Mothma. She was somebody that, even as a little girl, I was really intrigued by this lady with this, you know, pixie cut hair and this long flowing white dress. I could never figure out who or what she was when I was younger. And then, you know, getting older and knowing that there's those deleted Revenge of the Sith scenes with her in them. And then seeing her pop up in Rogue One, and talk about immaculate casting. Genevieve O'Reilly is just perfect in this role. And to be able to see her sink her teeth, you know, deeper into it, and for them to give her this crazy storyline of being basically a generational wealth, you know, family money, old money. She's prominent senator, but she's been, you know, taking out funds for the rebellion this whole time. I didn't see anything like that coming. And the whole fact that at some point she's going to have to, anybody who's fighting for the rebellion in secret, who's starting it, they're all going to have to, like, come out eventually. They're going to have to, they're not going to be able to hide behind their facades anymore. So I think what I'm looking forward to for next season is seeing Mon Mothma, you know, now that we've had this base established, we see her trying to do two things at once. It's going to be really cool to see that transition of when she's just purely for the rebellion, and that stuff with her daughter and the marriage alliance, if you will. It was devastating, and seeing her daughter go towards, you know, that more fascist side of Star Wars, just based off of not wanting to be like your mom when you're younger like that, it's going to be detrimental to her daughter's future. And the fact that they packed that all in into this Spark of the Rebellion type of a show was very, very impressive. And like you said, the gray area, seeing her get in bed with that gangster guy and have to, you know, go through with this marriage thing with her daughter to get out of trouble, I don't think it's going to work out the way she thinks it will.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's always so interesting. And when I sort of go back and think about, you know, Star Wars, you know, when I was growing up, you know, obviously just 4, 5, and 6, and I was watching it in the '90s. And, well, we both were, cause we didn't see it. We were didn't see it when it came out originally, but, you know, it has always just sort of felt like Star Wars was always just told to us through the eyes of, like, Han and Luke and Leia. So it's just like this small little band. They're the ones that take down the whole thing. And then over the years, it's been like bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and they've been fleshing out the Empire more. And so it's nice to finally get to see the rebel side of it. And one of the things I liked, I do feel like we could have used more Mon Mothma this season, but maybe we'll get more in the second season. So I felt like sometimes there were definitely some episodes where I felt like her story got kind of lost, just because there was so much going on with Cassian or Luthen, if kind of bouncing back around. But yeah, to get to see her sort of basically, I mean, in a way you could say she's throwing away her, not throwing away, but she knows she's burning the candle, and it could on both ends, and it could cost her marriage and the relationship with her daughter in order to fight this rebellion that, you know, her husband and some of the people laugh at her. I mean, they think she's like a laughing stock. It's just so interesting to get
it. They do too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just it's so refreshing to get to see like her side of the story. Cause she is a huge and very important piece to the rebellion. You know, along with sort of Leia as those sort of like political figureheads. challenging the system. So it's very cool to be able to get to see her. And, you know, when we see her in Rogue One, she's a little hesitant, right? Doesn't want to help them out, sending troops and stuff like that. So I'm kind of curious to see what's going to happen, because I feel like right now she'd say, let's go for it. But she is a little hesitant with, like, Luthen saying, like, you know, what are you doing? You know, stuff like that. So I'm hoping maybe season two, it's going to give us something that causes us to understand why she is as hesitant as she is in Rogue One. Because at that point, it feels like she's sort of full on just rebel leader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so maybe we will get some more backstory on that.
And her dresses aren't as fancy.
Yeah, that is, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I did like at the end how she sort of begins questioning her husband about, is, you know, are you gambling again? Is that going to be something
she set that up perfectly.
She's like setting him up.
Yes, yes, yes. When she started, I was like, oh my God. I'm like, I think anybody who's ever been in a long-term relationship has had like a kind of like, you know, a little argument about past actions. And that just, again, with the writing and the performances, it was stellar. Her knowing exactly that chauffeur and driver of hers is, you know, is going to be listening at all times. Yeah.
Right.
Blame it on man bun ponytail husband.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So it seems like, man, she's going to end up throwing her husband under the bus for her sort of her funding. So maybe give her sort of a backstory. What are we thinking about Luthen?
God, I hope we don't. I loved his monologue, but I hope we don't get another one, because God, it would be so dour and so sad. I don't know. I'm wondering. So he made it through this season, and I'm thinking, I don't know. I think he'll be here all throughout the second season. I don't know. I could kind of see him like maybe dying, but he's kind of funner to keep around because
that's what I think.
Yeah. He knows so many things. He's going deeper. He's going darker. He's already, you know, knowing not to expect to see his name in the history book. So he's just far too interesting to me. I don't want to see him go. And I know that Stellan Skarsgård is a huge actor, but Star Wars is pretty big too. So I think he'll stick around. And where did we see him zoom off at the end of the finale? Did he get on his little bike and go, his little speeder?
Well, yeah. So well, the episode where, yeah, so no, well, yeah, and then he goes on the ship with Cassian, and then he's okay. Cassian's, yeah, right, yeah. Cassian's got the gun. And he says, "Are you gonna kill me?" And then he sort of like thinks about it for a second. I think they also like them wanting to kill Cassian. They didn't really. I felt like that was just kind of like, where did that come from? Like, I kind of lost it. And I guess were they trying to kill him because now they could use him as a martyr, or like they sort of knew who he was? Like, it didn't. I've watched the episodes all the episodes twice, and it just doesn't immediately stick in my mind. So so I'm kind of like, okay, I felt like that was maybe lost, you know, a little bit.
I thought so too. And I wasn't sure at first. I was like, is he asking him to kill him, or is he trying to be like, oh, you're going to kill me now after all this?
Right.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. But, I was trying to remember, like, when we first see Cassian in the show, he's just kind of like looking for his sister still, right? Like, he's not really doing any rebellion stuff yet. Like,
no.
Okay, and then it's Luthen. I watched the third episode right before this, you know, with the box and then, you know, hopping on the speeder together and sailing off into the sunset. That was the episode where he decides, okay, I'll fight, I'll go in this. But like, I have a question for you. When they did, before he ends up in the prison, and he's in the Cabo San Lucas
beach town.
Yeah. When he was on vacation being a tourist, once they got the all that money from that heist, were they all just going to split up and peace out and go their separate ways?
Yeah, I don't know that they ever I guess they never sort of specifically said it. I mean, it was just like, hey, he was going to get paid for it. And then Cassian kind of like he took his cut and left.
Yeah, so did Vel, because then you had Vel popping up with Mon Mothma. That was a nice little development to see that they were, I think they're actually cousins. I don't think that was a friend.
Right. No, I don't think so either. Clearly because the daughter recognizes her as, yeah.
Yeah. So, I was a little bit confused by that, but like, that scene with that one trooper where he's just like, you look sweaty and why are you running and this and that. That was really scary. Like, that freaked me out. And it's like stormtrooper stuff, you know, it's very scary what it represents, but like seeing, you know, yeah, he did something bad in theory, but not
what
right
he got
then and there.
Yeah. He was literally just walking down the street and then the next thing you know, he's in prison.
I'm just a tourist. For 6 years. Oh my God. I was after that episode, I was like, what are we going to do?
Yeah. And we don't know. And we don't know how long he was in there, but it can't have been more than like, it feels like maybe like a couple months that he was in there. I don't know if there's any sort of specific date saying exactly how long he was in there, but it wasn't, like years that
he definitely didn't make it to his 6 year sentence. But talk about an arc in a show. Once we got into the prison, that was insane.
All of the prison stuff is by far some of the best moments in all of Star Wars. I mean, and I've done a handful of like TikToks and stuff on YouTube shorts and stuff like that about it, just like specifically a lot of those scenes. And some of the things that really like resonated with me was one, especially at if you watch the post credit scene at the very end, you can see that what they were building in that facility is the Death Star, right? Specifically the cannon, which is ultimately what, you know, is Cassian's story. He helps get the plans and ends up destroying it, as well as he ultimately gets killed by it. And so I was looking at that and sort of like the idea of like not one way out, but when they're saying no one's getting out, is that the Empire was essentially using sort of slave labor in these prisons to create a weapon that's sole purpose was to sort of imprison the galaxy. Right. It's like that's even more sort of like ultra evil, crazy, you know, to think about.
So evil. And they really did a great job at showing that Empire side without it being Sithy. You know what I mean? Since we have this show that's not about Jedis and it's not about the Sith, kind of a little bit, sort of, but not like the main focus. To have like such evil in the show represented without a single red lightsaber, without a single hallway scene, is just amazing. And for a post-credit scene to just be, you know, a little blurb of the Death Star coming together, they could have put that in anything. But the fact, like you said, that this just comes back to Cassian's ending. He was building the parts for this in the prison. It's just so macabre and just sort of sad and pitiful. And I have not been able to watch Rogue One yet. Like, I don't know how.
Yeah.
How
I haven't watched Rogue One since. I haven't watched Rogue One since. I'm gonna have to rewatch it here shortly. Okay, well we'll keep going on with the prison scene, and then we'll maybe shift to the Empire. I don't even know what you call Cyril and Daedra, whatever, you know, but obviously all the prison stuff, especially I was so glad that Andy Serkis was given another shot at Star Wars. Not that he was bad as Snoke. He was great as Snoke. It's just that Snoke was not really that great of a character, right, wasn't really utilized. So to get to see him not only have a little run again in Star Wars, but have one of the most powerful and emotional and amazing moments, like even had he made it out alive, like his speech still would have been absolutely amazing. But then the whole like little twist at the end makes it even more powerful, because you, because he knows the there's only one way out, and it's he it, it's not a way out for him, which is why he's a little more like there's no, you know, there is no way out, right? That's why he's sort of against like trying to escape.
Can't swim.
God, it's like the most, it's like the most heart, it's like Can't Swim is equally as heartbreaking for me as in Return of the Jedi, the Ewok that gets shot and the other Ewok tries to grab him.
R.I.P. or Ewok. Oh,
or
Or
Mando giving Grogu to Luke. It's like they're all like right there. It's like the saddest moments in Star Wars.
Absolutely.
So what do we think about the Empire side with Deirdre Miro and Cyril? I don't know what his name is, but Cyril Karn.
Cyril. If we don't get Cyril, some kind of a merchandising thing, I'm going to be upset. We need Cyril. I think it was fascinating to see the lower levels of the Empire, of this horribly corporate looking world. And especially, I think we talked a little bit the last time about how Morlana had kind of a coal mine town feel to it, and how like these just different factions of police and security, you know, but ultimately comes back to numero uno, you know, Palpatine's number one, the amount of onion layers that you peel back of the Empire and of everything is so fascinating. And it comes down to the most mundane of jobs or of things. I think, what was it? Finn worked in like the sanitation as a stormtrooper,
right.
Which is like, really, did you have to do that to Finn? You know, just seeing someone like Cyril, who, you know, seems to have this good job. Everything basically blows up in episode 3. And then he's living with his mom again and, you know, trying to get back into the workforce, even though he knows Cassian killed those two security guards. He can't prove it. So it's like, I feel for him and I don't, because I'm like, this guy does know the truth. And he's getting gaslit, and he's not getting the proper things he needs to find Cassian. Or, well, the one time he did have those tools, it blew up in his face. So I think it's kind of fascinating to see these people. And then I love seeing Deirdre's SHIT absolutely rocked in that last episode. In that finale episode, that was so Game of Thrones. I was like, oh, no, I had me having Sansa and the Hound flashbacks of when he saved her from the crowds, and just seeing that moment between the two of them where she just hit her rock bottom. He's been sitting at rock bottom for months now, and you know, they're kind of on this equal playing field together sort of now, and I don't know, it's amusing to see when these people who think they have it all get rocked a little bit.
Yeah, no, it was a great scene. Their relationship is very interesting, and I'm curious to see where it goes forward. Some people, you know, when we first saw Deirdre, I kind of thought maybe like, okay, she may actually turn good, right? Because she was sort of beginning to challenge and question the Empire, and even Cyril, I kind of thought maybe, okay, like I could see a route, because it's, you know, Star Wars, they almost always go right in that route. I could almost see him being like, okay, well, I tried to fight for the Empire and they, you know, whatever, so I'm gonna go fight for the rebels. But to see them actually go deeper into the Empire, almost a little bit in a way Crosshair like, right? It's a cool way to go, and it's a cool thing to add to Star Wars, these characters that are actually going to get dive deeper into the side of the Empire. We need that, because it adds great dynamics.
In the real world, we see that all the time. We see people who are perfectly capable of making the right choice make wrong ones for a crazy amount of reasons. So it only makes sense that, like you said, as much as like, oh, maybe she'll make a good decision or turn to the good side. As soon as she put those headphones on Vix, I was like, oh, yeah, she's bad. She just put screaming children on this woman's ears and just left her alone.
Yeah.
Just awful.
Crazy. Yeah,
That was impactful. That was a crazy scene.
Yeah, to really get like sort of the dark, like not the dark side, but darker sides of the Empire, I think is maybe, you know, the easier way to say that, and to see like some of the way they're torturing people and stuff like that, and really begin to see a lot of the bad stuff that they're doing. That's one of the things I loved about Rogue One was, you know, we'd always heard, well, the Empire's bad, but really all you really see the Empire do in 4, 5, and 6 that's really bad is they like kill, you know, Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen. I mean, outside of that, it's really, we were just fighting them in the Death Star and stuff like that, but we never really get to see them committing these like crimes and atrocities.
And
well,
how,
I mean, other than
how they're happening, well, they do, everywhere.
Well, yeah, they do blow up Alderaan, I should say. But outside of that, right, it's all just war.
Like, that was stuff. That was a big no-no.
Yeah.
But yes, it is. And it's like in the one, I can't remember the one guy's name, the kid who had the manifesto, how he says in it, you know, there's rebellions, there's people like us that all over the place that are fighting and starting little rebellions. And it's like, but there's also a dark side, the flip side to that is like these are starting because the oppression of the Empire is just getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And that's why I always like how, like, you know, the prequels are these bright, shiny movies because we're at this high, you know, kind of high point, you know, Coruscant still looks just fine to me, but like, you know, we've talked about before, pretty soon things are going to get dusty and dirty and desolate. And in Kenobi, when he goes to the one planet with Leia and he sees the vision of Anakin in the brown robe, he talked about how that used to be a really vibin' popping off town. And now it's just, you know, the Empire has ruined it. So the Empire is just so yucky.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
I shouldn't go by Palpatine anymore. I should really change that.
Yeah. So kind of dove into it just a little bit of like each part of it. So where do you think you'd rank Andor compared to, we can start with maybe with just like the other live action shows and then maybe include some of the everything but the movies. Where do you think you rank it?
I would say like, When I do like a ranking, it's probably more like rewatchability. You know what I mean? What am I what am I most likely going to put on, you know, eating dinner or around bedtime or whatever? And I think, you know, I want to say Mandalorian probably takes the cake. But that's like because of Grogu. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I just can't live without that little shamrock shake. I don't ever want to. And because of that teeny tiny little creature, I would say probably Mando, but I don't watch it too often. I watched the finale of season 2, when Luke shows up. I watched that a lot. That's the one I rewatch the most. And I would say for Book of Boba Fett, overall as the whole show, I can watch the finale any given time because it's just this ridiculous, he's riding the Rancor. It's all campy. It's all fun. And then for like Kenobi, it's those last two episodes when we get that fight with the real fight with him and Vader and Obi's crying. I cried. I bawled my eyes out when that, you know, watching that at like midnight. But Andor, I think just has really kind of like sailed in front of all of those because Diego Luna, I feel bad not even like he's carrying 12 episodes of this show on just phenomenally, charismatically, even when he's sad and frustrated and pissed, you feel it. And it's nothing feels phoned in, or it's just so good, so professional, so immaculate, so detailed. You can't beat it. You can't beat it.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I think I still have, so for the live action shows, from top, so from bottom to top, I'll count up. So I have Kenobi just under Book of Boba Fett. And to me, I go back and forth on those for a lot of reasons as to which one I actually like more. And then, I mean, I have a gap, a pretty sizable gap. And then it's like Andor and then The Mandalorian up above that. Start to finish, Andor is absolutely excellent. And I seriously cannot wait for the second season to get to see the full vision. Really, the only knock I have on this show, because I have to give it some criticism. I mean, for me, it's like a 4 out of 5 star show. Mandalorian's a 5 out of 5 star show because I have like zero flaws with it. My only criticism I have of Andor is it was 12 episodes and I felt like it was 12 great episodes and I felt like it could have been 9 amazing episodes. I felt like you actually probably could have cut it down. It's sort of the same thing I felt about Kenobi. After watching Kenobi, I sort of felt, you know, this would have been better as a movie. You could have cut a lot of this stuff out and redid it and done it as a movie, and it would have been like a Rogue One level movie.
Yeah, I do feel like Kenobi could have been, like you said, more movie wise, or you've got to beef it up past 6 episodes, because like I just noticed over the last couple years or so, like those 6-episode, 8-episode shows, sometimes I'm just like, give us a little bit more. Like, we grew up in like the sitcom era where it was like, you know, a sitcom would do like 100 episodes, and I don't want them to do that by any means. But like,
right,
like you said, either shave it down or make it a real, like with House of the Dragon, I was so happy that we had 10 solid episodes. 10.
Right.
Great number. And if you're going to do that, like you said, you know, whatever episode might be filler, put a few little exciting things in there to zhuzh it up a little bit. But for the most part, I would think Boba Fett, I'm so interested to see when Mandalorian season 3 comes out. Like, are people going to have to watch those 2 episodes of Boba Fett to kind of,
I think so. Yeah.
You know what? That could be fun before, the premiere of season 3 comes out at night, watching the 2 Boba episodes going into it. That could be fun.
Yeah. 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 I know. I agree. Yeah.
But
so
still,
yeah,
awkward. Yeah. Still very awkward.
It's weird. I know. I know. There, I still feel the same way about it, where I'm just like, man, Book of Boba Fett. Like, that's the thing. I mean, that's like Mandalorian. That's why I have Mandalorian and Andor sort of together, just because, like, for me, it's like Kenobi and Book of Boba Fett are both kind of the same thing, where it's Boba Fett's plot and pacing and storyline is all over the place, and it's just like, you've got like this front story, and then the here's what happened in the past, and here's what's going on now, and then it's an entire episode of Mandalorian, and then now we're gonna go with Luke and Ahsoka, and then like Boba's not even in it for like
two and a half
episodes.
CGI Luke.
Yeah, and then we're gonna bring in Cad Bane, and he's supposed to be the villain, and you're supposed to know who he is, which I mean, like, we do because we're Star Wars fans, but the general public's like, who's this guy? Because they didn't explain it. And it's like, but it's all great. And like Kenobi, yeah. Kenobi to me felt like the highs of Kenobi are some of the highest moments in all of Star Wars.
Yeah.
But I just felt like it wasn't consistent. And so then there are some moments where I was like, I don't know. Like,
I think it relied a little bit too much on our emotions. I think,
right.
Like, I'm wondering if the writer's room was like, listen, people are just going to be happy to see Hayden and
yeah.
don't really have to do much. But
yeah.
I was, I would have loved to seen, like, and I don't want to discount anybody's work on that show by any means,
right.
but I would have, could you imagine that if we had, like, Andor level, like,
exactly. Yeah, I know. I know. It's
crazy.
Like if, right, it's like if Tony, if, like, Deborah Chow weren't the, you know, writer, producer for that show, and, like, say, Tony Gilroy, who's, you know, executive producer, and, you know, and John Gilroy, right, editor and stuff like that, like, those guys, you know, it's kind of like you, so sometimes I view it, and this is the way I've felt about this kind of like with Marvel recently too, especially like Phase 4 Marvel, where it's like, you know, post Avengers Endgame, so I mm-hmm. see some of these things, and I'm like, it's not that, like, I think the character's bad or the acting performance is bad or like what they're going to do with the character is bad. Cause I don't think I'm, you know, saying anything controversial by saying Marvel has been kind of like a big step down, you know, since Avengers Endgame. Whereas
yeah,
I feel
I
like, man, I feel like,
I'd, like,
yeah, I'm like, I really feel like I'd appreciate this more, or I would, I like some of the aspects from it. I just want to see a different team do it. Like, that's kind of how I felt like with Moon Knight, where I was like, man, obviously Oscar Isaac is freaking amazing, but I felt like if a different, like, crew were working on it, like, I want to see somebody else's vision with it. And that's
something.
One of the cool things about Marvel and Star Wars is that, well, different people do get it, because Dave Filoni will get to work with some of these characters mm-hmm. people at some, these characters at some point. So you get to see the different way that people use these characters. And so it's really interesting.
Yeah. I was just talking to my sister about just like, the Marvel stuff and about which projects help my interest or that I retained anything from. And you bringing up Moon Knight, I just, that show, there's no reason why, like, we should be like, oh yeah, Moon Knight was total kicked ass. Moon Knight was awesome.
Right.
That's what we should be saying right now. And we're both like, yeah, Moon Knight, Oscar Isaac, it's cool, but, like,
yeah.
There was just, I watched the whole season. I watched it with my boys, and but it was one of those things where, like, after the first couple Wednesdays, we were like, oh, well, we could put Moon Knight on. It wasn't like,
right.
Oh my God, it's Moon Knight time. It was, you know, so. And I just, and that gets very tiresome when you have these
right.
big projects that just so much of it seems like it's phoned in. It's still big and it's still a marvelous production and it's still something to, like, look at and watch for a couple hours. But, like, if you don't really take anything with you, what was the point? And at least, like, Andor, you know, I didn't cry in Andor at all. They didn't play on, like, the emotional nostalgia stuff too much, but it still had just, like, it just still had a huge impact on, like, wow, what did I just watch? Like,
yeah. Well, and that's one of
the prison
yeah.
episodes.
And that's one of the things that I look at and I think, you know, so episodes 8 and 9 were sort of the big prison episodes. And I think the One Way Out was, you know, the Can't Swim episode was the first episode to air that wasn't, because Andor's ratings were terrible. Had great reviews, but its ratings were, like, terrible because it came out at an absolutely awful time. I don't know who at Disney thought that was a great idea, but it was like, okay, so it came out. They pushed it back. They said, and then mm-hmm. we were going to get 3 episodes because it was going out against, like, we knew when the 2 biggest shows all year, we knew the 2 biggest shows on television or streaming, whatever, are going to be Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, and Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. Like, we
right?
knew.
And within a week of each other, right? Weren't
exactly.
Less than a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were going head to head because the Rings of Power came out on, like, Thursday/Friday. And then Game of Thrones every Sunday. So, I mean, it was just like, we knew those were going on. And then She-Hulk was on. And then, and we'll get to it here in a bit, because it was good as well. Tales of the Jedi came out during, like, one of the weeks of Andor. So it was like Rings of Power ended. And I think She-Hulk ended. And so then it was, like, going to just be, like, House of the Dragon and then Andor, like, the 2 big sort of streaming shows. But then, like, well, we still have Tales of the Jedi, which is comes out on Wednesday, is a Star Wars show. So it competed its own thing. And of course, there's also the NFL, which destroys, you know.
Oh, yeah. I forgot football exists too.
Yeah, exactly. Everything. So, I mean, that like occupies everything, especially, you know, since it's Thursday, you know, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Thursday. So that's why I felt like, for me, the fact that the sort of big, great Andy Serkis episode with the speech, One Way Out and everything, like, for me, I'm viewing that moment as like, so it's still so profoundly in my mind, considering we just went through House of the Dragon and these other big shows. I was not expecting this show to have moments so powerful that like it would be like what's fresh in my mind. Because right now it's the end of the year and I'm thinking about, like, right now I'm watching Wednesday, the Adam's Family show. Oh,
yeah.
It's so good.
I like it.
It's so good so far.
If you don't like it, I get it. But
it's so good.
It's been good so far.
And then Willow, I haven't watched it yet, but it came out today as we're recording this, the first couple episodes. And I think that's pretty much it. I think that's pretty much it for like the big streaming shows. So I've been sort of thinking about, you know, what have been my top 10 favorite streaming shows this whole year, right? I mean, there's a lot. But I think I have Andor, which I was not expecting. I was expecting Kenobi to be my front runner in Star Wars.
Yeah.
I have Book of Boba Fett, which technically came out at the beginning, the very end. It was like December 29th of last year.
Yeah.
But so I'm still including that. But man, with Stranger Things and all these other things, Umbrella Academy was good this year, and Reacher and Peacemaker and The Boys, all of these things.
Peacemaker.
I have Andor. Yeah, I have Andor sitting at my number 5 spot, and considering how good streaming has been this year, like to have it above Kenobi and Boba Fett and some of these other great shows, for me, I feel like that's like an incredible win.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I would say I would go House of the Dragon, and then I would probably say Andor being the most like impactful things. I'd have to think about it.
I
don't know what else I've really watched.
Well, I have Stranger Things season 4. I have it too.
And see, I'm behind on my Stranger Things. But okay. Like you said though, that TV fatigue, people were coming off of the finale.
Kenobi and Stranger Things came out the same day.
Yeah, yeah. It's just so much. Like, and with Andor, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to take it in properly till House of the Dragon was done. I would watch it still, but nothing was sticking in my brain, which I have ADHD, so that's just to be expected.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I do retain it, that means something special happened. And so it was nice once House of the Dragon was purged and out of my hard drive, I could just, and it was, we were just going, it was just around that, the I episode, right? Where we were jacking all the money from the Empire whose salary did they steal again?
They stole a regiment of an Imperial sort of sector.
Okay.
The payroll, because they knew that would cause, that would one, make it up the food chain, as well as it would tick off people because now they're not getting paid. So yeah. And it's also like Luthen seems to be doing these things, one, because he needs money to help fund Mon Mothma, but two, man, Luthen's kind of a wild card, and he's like, we need the Empire to come down hard on us. He's like, I need somebody else to die in order for me to be able to like rally more people, because it'll create martyrs. Crazy.
And it's like, not, there doesn't need to be a martyr. Don't let it, well,
I know.
It'll be Cassian and Jyn eventually, but...
Yeah. So it's good. And it's just, yeah, the drama is just, oh, it's so good. So, okay, let's shift gears here. And just because we haven't talked about it, on air or whatever, Tales of the Jedi, fun little day of Star Wars. We got about 6 episodes. 3 were sort of Ahsoka focused, the other 3 were Count Dooku focused. Another little Dave Filoni project, just a fun little day of Star Wars. Kind of felt like I think last year we got Visions, kind of the, just that fun sort of day, but this ties into the Clone Wars and all of those things. What did you think about Tales of the Jedi?
I am two episodes in. So I saw the first one with little baby Ahsoka, and then the second one with Dooku saving the senator's kid who got kidnapped.
Right.
And I really enjoyed them. I thought that Ahsoka episode, that little old lady in the village, I was like, she knows something. She knows something. And then at the end, when she goes, she is a Jedi, it was like, oh, it was like goosebumpy. It was, and it got me back into my animation. I've been taking a little break from Hello There and doing some of the Star Wars animated stuff. And so as soon as Tales of the Jedi came out, I was like, okay, I can't wait to sink back into this. So it was delightful.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, okay, so it's gonna get even better, is all I will, without spoiling.
Yeah, I can't wait for Yaddle to show up.
So you get, so basically, I mean, some of the, I don't think it's gonna spoil anything, because we kind of know what happens to all these characters and everything. So yeah, so you have, so you saw the first one with Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan and Dooku. It's kind of weird, because you get an Ahsoka episode, you get three Maul or Dooku episodes, and then you get two Ahsoka, and then you get two Ahsoka episodes. Yeah, so the first one for me was just kind of like, it's just Ahsoka as a kid. I don't know, I kind of like snoozed through it. I was like, I mean, it's like cool, but I don't know. It was what it was. I was like, okay, this is cool. And these are short. These are like 12 minutes. Some of these aren't, aren't like full Clone Wars episodes or anything. So you have two more Dooku episodes left, which are like very significant, He has you'll see him have a conversation with Mace Windu, and you begin to see why Dooku turns. And what it was, that it's very Qui-Gon oriented. It's very Qui-Gon oriented. And so it sort of takes place really during and kind of around the Phantom Menace. It confirms some stuff in the timeline, which is interesting, because we've never really exactly known, like, at least to my knowledge, maybe it's in a book or a comic somewhere, but like exactly when Dooku leaves the Jedi Order. And so it's kind of cool to get some of that. And then it shifts back to two Ahsoka episodes. And the last one is just like sort of, I mean, it's cool, but it's like nothing crazy special or anything. It's just like she goes to Padme's funeral, which is exciting, ooh, right? But in terms of like the big grand scheme, it's a cool little 12-minute moment. And then we have another one of her training, which like you saw in the trailers. Yeah.
Okay, I think I might have caught a little bit of that. Is Anakin and Obi in that episode?
Yeah, it's it's just all it really is you get to see it's the training, and you see, it's in the trailer. It's like one of the most prominent scenes in the trailer for Tales of the Jedi, and it's her training. It's basically Anakin putting her through all this training, and really it sets up like the exact moment at the end of Clone Wars season 7 where she's able to actually go against all the things. It's one of the coolest Ahsoka things, but you really have to see it to get the full to get the full thing of it. But I really liked it for what it was. I mean, I think this is something, in all honesty, they could do like every year or every other year or something. And I would totally keep this thing going. And it's fine that they're like, they don't even have to be 12 minutes. They could be like eight minutes in this sort of Clone Wars animated style. And we just get it once a year. And it could be cool stories about Mace Windu or Yoda or whatever.
Any of them. It was giving me a little bit of Forces of Destiny vibes. That was, I think each episode is less than 10 minutes long, and I think it deals with most of the chicks in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what its format was kind of similar. Like you said, not quite as short, but they could even make them shorter. But I love those little things. I think not everything needs to be live action. Not everything needs to be an hour-long episode, and if they did that every year, that would be amazing. Especially, like you said, the different, you could have Kanan and, I can never say her name
Ezra.
Right. His, Sabine. His
And Hera.
No, I was trying to think of his master. His Jedi master.
Oh, Depe Balaba. Depe Balaba.
Depe Balaba. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Oh, he's in it. Kanan is a... There is a Kanan cameo in it.
Oh, was there? Okay, good. Because I really love the... well, it's impactful. The very first episode of The Bad Batch when you see
right.
Order 66 happen with those two. I'd love to see more of them. That would be really cool.
Yeah, when is Bad Batch? I mean, Bad Batch was supposed to be... Like, they had sort of announced it, and then it got pushed back, right?
Yeah, I haven't been able to trust a single date that has come out yet, but I'm ready
for
season, more Omega.
Okay, so season two is now officially listed as January 4th, 2023. Okay. So that's not too far away.
All right. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, which will be nice. Really, the only other big Star Wars thing coming out is we are going to be getting a trailer for Jedi Fallen Order 2. Here shortly, and I think it's going to have some big implications to Star Wars. I don't know if you've played the first one or not, but it's even if you like watch a Let's Play or something of it, it's very important to the story. And I'm 100%. I feel very confident that we will see Cal Kestis in live action at some point.
I hope so, because that actor seems pretty cool. And a while ago I was like, I've never played the game before, but I was like looking into like the lore of it and like going through a bunch of different pictures and stills from the game, and I just was like, I would totally watch this if this was a movie. And like my sons, they have put on YouTube so many random you know things of some of the other games where it's like right. more of like the storyline stuff that just plays. Like I think we've watched almost like an hour of the one where there's like the twins and there's like
the old Republic
sister. Yeah, and then the dad comes for the little sister, and yep. then she turns into a dark side bad guy. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to see more of this. Like it just looks yeah. so those video games, I don't know, they should bring, like you said, they should bring some more of that to us who don't play them, because I would love to see that character, Cal, in live action. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And Cameron Monaghan, I think we will see him at some point, especially because his storyline's going on sort of right around the time of like Kenobi. So just a couple years before, that was one of my biggest criticisms of Kenobi, was that Cal Kestis breaks into Fortress Inquisitorius, which is like, and it's like, I guess it takes place a few years. Literally, the episode where Obi-Wan goes in it's almost as if Deborah Chow went copy paste. Right? I mean, it's it is identical. I mean, it's like, it is frame for frame the same thing. And so it like super ticked me. It was like one of my biggest criticisms of Kenobi. I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe like they're just did the, it's like takes place at the exact same place, all this stuff, whatever. But it's the game is very, very good. It's one of the coolest Star Wars stories. Obviously Cal's a Jedi who, you know, survived Order 66. He was he seems like he was almost even a youngling during that time. So he's probably around the same age as Kanan, maybe he's okay. a little bit older. So he would be the same age as Reva or Reva, however you're pronouncing it. Yeah, because Kanan we see a few years later, so he's probably the same age as Kanan. But when you're playing the game, so now this next one's going to be a couple years into the from that, not necessarily into the future, but there's a lot of cool stuff that's going on. There's like some mysterious person in a Bacta tank, and we don't know who it is. And it seems like he's going to be fighting this person. He does fight in the first game, he does fight this sort of Sith character who was a Jedi who becomes a Sith hanging out on Dathomir. There's a lot of cool stuff. You could, if you just look up like Jedi Fallen Order, the story, you can find somebody who just like cuts up like the whole game to where it's not. You don't have to watch like somebody play the game, but they just do all the cutscenes mm-hmm. and everything, because it's the story's very cool.
I would love more of Dathomir in anything. Everybody always talks about it. And I guess there was a... Is that where Asajj Ventress is from?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and the night... Yeah, the night... The
fancy Asajj figure I have here.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the Night Sisters, and he sort of like meets this girl who's a Night Sister, and they sort of are like a love interest, and she's on
the
okay, she's like gonna go
blonde,
hang out. Huh?
The pale blonde, yep. With the short mm-hmm. hair. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And sort of the whole big deal about that game is there was a Jedi who went to these like ancient temples and set up some sort of ruins, and he basically what Cal's ultimately searching for is a list. It's a holocron that contains a list of every known Jedi who survived Order 66. And so the whole deal is that Vader and these other Inquisitors are racing against Cal to go find it so that they can go take it on. And then one of the girls, again, they kind of just ripped this out of, Kenobi just kind of rips this story off here. He ends up fighting this other Inquisitor. She's like the fifth sister or something. I can't forget exactly what she is. But again, she was a youngling just like him. She gets turned into a Jedi, you know, the whole deal, or a Sith.
Wow.
The whole deal. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like the plot to Kenobi is kind of just Jedi Fallen Order. It's pretty similar. Like, but nonetheless,
I need to play the game.
Right. Yeah. Or yeah. You can certainly watch.
Or just watch
it,
the YouTubes. Just watch. Yeah. Watch the hour long.
Yeah. And then he runs into Vader at the very end, and it's awesome. Like the ending to that game is like, you could honestly just watch the ending. It's so freaking good. Yeah, so okay, cool. Well, I think we kind of covered Andor, what we thought, some Tales of the Jedi. There's not really a bunch of other stuff going on in Star Wars right now. We're kind of in that little bit of a lull until Bad Batch season 2. There was the cool Grogu and the Dust Bunnies. Yeah, there was Grogu and the Dust Bunny, Studio Ghibli, little.
Oh, that was
it was so cool
really
for what it was. A little 4 minute fun.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of this. I've been just now getting into Studio. Is it Ghibli or Ghibli?
I think you can pronounce it both ways.
Okay, because I always
they're amazing. They're
every
like
every time.
Okay. No, they're phenomenal.
Yeah,
Princess, Princess
so
Mononoke and all of it.
I just did Howl's movie
Spirited
Castle
Away
the other day.
Castle.
I really enjoyed it. I loved it. But Kiki's
delivery
service is my favorite so far.
I hope they get more projects and stuff too. So, okay,
and
cool. Well, thanks. I think they are. I think they're working on some more stuff because we know we're getting Vision season 2. So maybe we get some more anime Star Wars stuff. So awesome. Well, Sarah, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Sarah Palpatine, or you can find me on TikTok. I just changed that to Sarah Targaryen because I've pretty much just doing House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones stuff on there now. But yeah, and then podcast wise, you can always listen to anything having to do with Star Wars animation at Hello There and Curiosity Killed the Cat for anything else, books, movies, entertainment. So
awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, as always, thank you for joining me. It's always so
thank
fun to talk Star Wars with you. always fun. Hope you have a good rest of your holidays. Hope you guys who are watching or listening have a great rest of your holidays as well. We will be back with more Star Wars coverage here in the next few weeks until we get to Bad Batch. So with that, as always, thank you for watching, thank you for listening, and remember that traveling through hyperspace ain't like dusting crops.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.